So coming off the back of a anti-conference, your heart is so full of things, and you know, I feel like the psalmist writes this verse and he says that my heart is overflowing with a good theme, and my tongue is like that of the ready writer, and my heart is overflowing with so much good and stuff that's been happening. So during the course of that conference, you do a lot of introspection, you do a lot of things and soul searching and things that the Lord is talking to you about. And, you know, as a leader, there's a lot of things, adjustments the Lord's making. But then you also need to remind yourself that, Stefan, you're just a son. You're just a child of God. And He wants to speak to me as well. So during the evenings and sometimes at night, He wakes me up and he'll talk to me about some stuff. And during, I don't even know if it was during one of the many sessions that we had, or just, I don't know. I just felt the Lord drop this word on my heart. And the word is found in Romans chapter 8, verse 14. So about 2 weeks ago, I preached out of 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, and it says this: see what kind of love the Father has bestowed upon us. What kind, what manner of love, this unearthly love that He has bestowed upon us, that we should be children of God. And then he actually reiterates and He says, and so we are. And then the Lord brought me right back to this verse. In Romans chapter 8, verse 14, it says this: for all, and that all, I looked it up, it means all, okay? We'll unpack some of these things. All who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. All who are led by the Spirit of God. So if you are led by the Spirit, and there's an evidence of you being led by the Spirit, then I want to tell you, you're a son and a daughter in His house. There's an evidence of sonship if the Spirit leads you. But if you're not Spirit-led, you're not a son. You're not a daughter. That's what that scripture says. I want to read to you two different translations. The Phillips translation reads like this. It says, all who follow the leading of God's Spirit are God's own sons. I'm going to read it again. All who follow the leading of God's Spirit are God's own sons. And another translation says, for as many as are being constantly led by God's Spirit, these are sons of God. Constantly led. I love that. That little word, constantly, that you, it's not just a Sunday or a Wednesday thing. I'm led by the Spirit when I go to community or when I come to church. I'm constantly led by the Spirit of God. Spirit leading is an evidence of sonship. So I have a question. I want to start with this question this morning. Are you a child of the living God? I can't answer that for you. You need to answer that for yourself, because this verse provides a very good soundboard to address that query. This morning, if you look at this verse, and we're going to unpack this verse a little bit, but if you look at this verse, it's a really good soundboard. To what degree am I being led by the Spirit? Do I allow Him to lead me? So, before we start, I want to look at this little word that is thrown in there, for. Okay. Sometimes you need to ask yourself, what's the for explaining? Usually the word therefore is used, and if you've got to ask the same question, what's the therefore? Because Paul is connecting some thoughts. He is connecting some things. Why? So you usually need to go back to the preceding verses to see why that. Because it's a term of explanation. For. He's explaining. He's going to explain something to us. And when you read this term of explanation, for all who are led, if you start with that, so you need to pause and you need to ask yourself, what is the Spirit seeking to explain? What is the Holy Spirit trying to explain to me in this verse? When I see words like that, I grab a journal, I grab a book, and I write them down because I want to know what the Spirit is saying to me in my personal study. I hope this is going to help you a little bit, maybe. In fact, you need to stop reading right now, and then you need to observe again Romans 8:14 and see if you can determine what Paul is explaining. What is he trying to explain? Notice how pausing to ponder will always force you to examine the context. We read scripture sometimes, and there's a washing of the word. I mean, when I was on holiday, I could read a lot of scripture, just portions of it. Just let the word wash over me. But sometimes you just pause and you stop. And you need to stop at that point. You need to ask some questions. You need to say, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me right now through this verse? You can and you should practice this simple discipline every time you encounter a four. And while not every instance is a term of explanation, a four at the beginning of a verse is almost always is used with that grammatical sense. What is the four explaining? The word for in this context paints a picture of all those that crucified the flesh. You need to look at verse 13. Do we have it there? Verse 13 quickly. Let's look at verse 13, what he says there. Do you have all three of them together there? Verse 13, 14, and 15. You have one of those. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Because I wanted to continue with the thought from 13 to 14. For, there's another one. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. And then he continues. He says, for all. In other words, what he's saying here is that if we continually kill the flesh and its deeds, if you continue every day to crucify the flesh, I mean, these are big words, big theological terms even. To kill the deeds of the body, you shall truly live. And then you're truly a son. And this is not a once-off thing like, okay, God, I'm dead now to myself today. But tomorrow I just pick up the flesh again and I sin and I keep on doing the things of this world. You see, this is a picture really of dying to live. Josh Jen, we have this motto, if you've been around her. And back in the day, we used to have this thumbprint and it used to say, dying to live. But it's something that I have in my life. It's a constant thing. Lord, I'm dying every day. Unless a seed falls into the ground and it dies, it will not yield a crop 30, 60, 100 fold. A seed needs to die. And I want to say this even to your ministry. You need to die because your ministry will stay a single seed ministry if it doesn't die. It's only when it's dying that it will truly live and bring life. So we need to constantly die to ourselves. We need to constantly die to the things of the flesh, the deeds of the flesh. That's what he says there. Paul uses this word for to explain why you will live. In short, those who kill sin are showing that they are being led by the Spirit. And this marks them as true sons of God, not counterfeit sons. Stated maybe in another way, the Spirit's leading energizes sin's killing. I'm going to say it again. The Spirit's leading energizes sin's killing. A counterfeit son would not even have a desire to kill sin, much less have the power of the Holy Spirit to accomplish this supernatural task. But the amazing thing is God doesn't leave you and me alone. Like he says, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, the helper. He's the one that's going to convict you of sin, righteousness, and judgment. He's going to teach you according to that. He's going to show you. You know, as a young Christian, you sometimes find yourself not wanting to do things. Like in the first week or 2 weeks or so of being a young Christian and born again, I remember my speech has changed. There were certain things that I struggled with, for a very long time, and I'll show you what that is. But ultimately, there were certain things that just fell away, and it just felt uneasy when I did those things. Like swearing was one of those things for me. I mean, I made up swear words. I invented swear words. So my speech was very seasoned. And now all of a sudden it changed. One of the amazing things that Jonathan Stansfield shared with us in the, I think it was in the Hebridean, I don't know, one of the revivals that happened. No, sorry, it is the Welsh revival. If you go watch online, you'll be able to see a lot of Evan Roberts on YouTube. Go watch some of the stuff on Evan Roberts and the Welsh revival. Young man, it was powerfully used by God. But the amazing thing is, they used to use these little mules, these little donkeys in the mines. And these donkeys stopped working when the revival fell because they could not understand what these men were saying to them. They were swearing so much at the donkeys. The donkeys didn't understand now that they were all born again and filled with the Holy Spirit. They didn't understand what they were saying anymore. They had to retrain the donkeys. Think about it. That's all that donkey knows is swearing. He doesn't understand any other language. You know? Expletive, expletive, expletive. That's all he understands. And all of a sudden, the Lord changes hearts. God's Spirit falls upon a nation. People's hearts are turned. And they changed. That they have to retrain these donkeys to hear a different voice. Something different. They don't understand it. Spirit's leading will energize you to kill sin. A counterfeit son won't understand this. He won't kill that sin. So the evidence of our sonship is, do we fight sin in our lives or do we feel blasé about sin in our lives? Do you fight sin every day? Are you wakey-wakey because that thing will come at you from all sides? Are you fighting that sin? Or are you just blasé? Oh, well, that's just who I am. You know, like some of these guys have said, you know, shyness is a sign of pride. And that's really sin. So some of them need to fight that shyness all the time so that they don't sin. Pride is a big thing in our lives. I have to fight pride on a daily basis and kill that thing and put it under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. It's not me. It's Christ. He gets the glory. Just a reminder. In 2 Corinthians, I want to remind you of the Spirit that he's reminding us of. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17 to 18, quickly. Therefore, go out from their midst and be separate from them, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing. Then I will welcome you. And I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. He says, come out from the world. Come out from the world. Be separated from it. People, we are in this world. We're not of this world. I do not adhere to the standards of this world. I do not keep up with the Joneses. I have friends. Their surname is the Joneses. I love them. But I don't keep up with the Joneses just because my neighbor bought this thing. No, I need to do that. I do not succumb to the things of this world. There he says, put it up again. He says clearly to them, come out from them. Don't even touch an unclean thing. 2 Corinthians, put it up quickly. Thanks, Sibu. Go out from their midst and be separated from them, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing. Then I will welcome you. How much of the world is still in you? Another testimony, as a young Christian, I started going to clubs, nightclubs and stuff like that at the age of about 15 or so. We would sneak in. I looked older then. I know. I look younger now. It's just the Holy Spirit. New creation, that kind of stuff. So I used to go to these clubs and we would sneak in and everything. And then I became a Christian in 1992 and, I used to go back there. I was like, oh yeah, I'm going to go minister to all these people. And, you know, and I went alone. And I remember this good friend of mine. He was working for the post office at that stage, living in Saldana. And he phoned another friend of mine and he said, listen, I'm concerned about Stefan. He's hanging out in these clubs again And that thing is just pulling him back in. And I'm like, yeah, I'm ministering to you with a beer in my hand. Yes, become all things to all men. Yes. You know that I might win some, you know. Drinking with them, partying with them, and just slipping back into the world, the things of this world. And the Lord said, come out from them. Come out from them. Yes, you're going to minister to the world, but you right now, you need to be separated from that thing. That thing will suck you back in. I always say it's easier to pull something off a table than to pull something onto a table. Remember that. In any relationship, guys, don't date a girl that don't serve Jesus. Girls, don't settle for a guy that's just mediocre. Because he will pull you down. You will come down to his standard or her standard. That person needs to love Jesus more than they love you. That's the person that you want in your life. That's the person that I'm praying for my daughters. Pulls you in. So I want to talk about being led by the Spirit this morning. And it's a Greek word, ago, actually. A-G-O, ago. That's what it means. It means to direct the movement of an object from one position to another. Johan, ek gaan jou gou gebruik. Ja, kom asseblief. As ek jou brille val, gaan jy iets sien. Nee. Maak net jou oë toe. Maak net jou oë toe. So I'm going to lead Johan right now. He's not going to look. Okay, so give me your hand and I'm going to lead you. Okay. Don't look. Don't look where you go. No. Don't look. You see, that's our problem. That's what we want to do. Come. Don't open your eyes. Okay, come. Let's go.
I trust you fully.
Was I bucket?
No. Okay. So, do you think that Johan was led by me right now? There. He allowed me to lead him. Okay. It's like a shepherd that leads sheep. He leads me by still waters. He leads me. But I need to allow him. At that point, there's a point where you want to put out the hand. Where you know that this might be an obstacle. And you know, like when we play with my kids, I always open my eyes, squint like that. And like, I can see what they're doing. You know, they're like, Daddy, close your eyes. Daddy, close your eyes. Daddy, well, I can see you opening your eyes, Daddy. And then they want to prank me and put like a bitter thing in my mouth and taste this, close your eyes, you know. And I'm like, no, I'm not. That's not being led. That's me being in control. And the Holy Spirit needs to do that. He needs to direct the movement of an object from one position to another. That's being led. And this is used in the present tense, which signifies continuously being led. And it also tells us that the leading is a result of a force or a power or source that is outside of ourselves. I don't lead myself. I'm not being led by my own selfish desires. I'm not being led by sin. I'm not being led by the fads of this world. I'm being led by His Spirit. It's a force outside of me. The Holy Spirit. So what's the believer's role? What is your role in this? Well, Johan needed to be willing to be led by me. You need to be willing. You need to say exactly what he said. I trust you. You need to be willing to be led by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not going to tug at you and just pull you and come on, change direction. And you're just sitting. The most difficult ship to turn around is the ship that's never left the harbor or the one that's standing still. Sometimes you might even be in the wrong direction, and the Holy Spirit, if you're led by the Spirit, He can change that direction for you. At least there's some momentum. He can use some of that momentum, that movement, but the ship that is just standing still and say, I'm not going to move. You can't lead that ship. You can't change the direction. It's difficult. Or the ship that just stays in the harbor. It's the difficult ship. You must be willing. You see, this calls for a Christ-like attitude. Matthew 6, Jesus prays this. He says, not my will, but yours be done. Not my will. As your will, as it is in heaven, so let it be done on earth. Not my will. He's teaching us to pray that. So you need to be willing. You need to say, Jesus, I don't know where you're leading me. And for some of you right now, like Thomas said, this year, I don't know where God led me. This is a crazy year. Where are you right now? Did you take yourself there? Do you feel like the Spirit led you? And sometimes you're just like, no, let me grab hold of the steering wheel. Like, I'm the worst person to go tandem bicycling with you. Don't put me in the back. I almost probably break the handlebars that you're sitting on. I'll break it off because I want to turn that bicycle. I'm the worst person. I've done tandem bicycling on the back. I climbed off. I was like, I can't do this because I want to be in control. I want to be the steering one. Please don't you. There was this picture that somebody had during the conference about leading. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us in a dance. I can't dance. Who can dance? Wie van julle dans goed? Dans julle twee goed? Glad het. Wie van julle dans mooi? Jou vrou is nou nie hier nie. Julle twee kan nogal skoffel. Jy en Mandy. Huh? Ek is nie. Nie reg nie. Kirsten, kan julle bietjie, kan julle dan? Verstaan jy? Ek kan nie. Ek het twee linker voete. En my vrou is soos, my vrou is altijd klaar altijd. Kom dans jy nie? Ek soos, nee baby. I got the moves like Jagger. Jy sien. Maar het maak het makkelijk. It makes it easy when you have a partner that is just being led. And it looks beautiful. I mean, I've watched some of those things. Just the person, it looks like they become one and how they move. But the person that's leading knows exactly. And the one is almost just following perfectly in this dance. And sometimes you need to give over and say, you need to lead me in this dance, Jesus. You need to lead me. And change the direction the way you want to do it. Willingness. You see, the Spirit is leading. He calls for self-submitting. I need to submit to Him. And how are you doing? I want to ask you this morning. How are you doing submitting to the Spirit of God in your life? Does it freak you out? Are you like me on the back of that tandem bicycle? I just want to change direction. You just worried or do you actually sit back and relax and say, Jesus, you know what you're doing. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Remember the very fact that you are yielding to the Spirit's leading. You are yielding. You're giving over. Even imperfectly as it probably seems to some of you right now. You're thinking, dear God, what are you doing with my life? Why are you leading me down this road, Lord? See, it's a present tense. He's continually leading you. It's a call to walk in a general direction. And that general direction is heavenward. It's not called to perfection. He's not calling us to that. This is not going to be perfect. And even sometimes you will fumble in the dance. You will make a wrong step. But he says, let me lead you. Does it make sense? Those who are being led by the Spirit. Paul uses different terminology. Let's quickly run through it. He uses this in Romans 8 verse 1. He actually says, Romans 8 verse 1. Quickly, Sibu, we're just going to run through those scriptures, those four that's coming up. Romans, therefore, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. See, that is the position you need to take, in Christ Jesus. It's not just, you're not outside of Him. You're in Him. It's just the terminology He uses. He uses in Romans 8 verse 4, walking according to the Spirit. Romans 8 verse 4, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. He uses the same terminology. Being in Christ. If you're in Christ, if He changes direction, you change direction. There's no other way. He uses the being spirit indwelt in Romans 8 verse 9 to 11. This whole chapter of Romans 8 is full of that. You are ever not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If in fact the spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the spirit of Christ does not belong to him. You see, he just puts it a different way there. But if Christ is in you, in Christ, although the body is dead because of sin, the spirit of life is life because of righteousness. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit. In other words, the same power, the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is in you. Do you believe that? I mean, I'm not going even into the implications of being led by the Spirit and what you can do in Him. I'm not even in that yet. Okay. Leading implies following, always. I'm being led. And I want to say this, and I'm not saying this because I'm a disgruntled leader. Are you even being led by your leaders? The Bible says in Hebrews, obey those that are leading you. So leading implies following. And I always say to people, you know, they have churches and they have these things or whatever. They say, well, I have this ministry. You just need to look over a man's shoulder. That's all you need to do. You need to just look and see who's following him. That's what you need to do. Because if nobody's following you, I want to tell you right now, you're just taking a stroll in the park. That's all you're doing. Well, I have a ministry. Well, who's leading you? And who's following you? Okay. Just some stuff I want to put out there. The result of this being led is that the Holy Spirit, you see, there's a progressive thing that's happening. And I've said this numerous times. I want to say it again though. When we get born again and saved, there is a leading of the Spirit into being born again. That's called justification. But then there's a process of holiness. Of God setting us apart and consecrating us. This is called sanctification. This is still Him leading. And He leads us into salvation. So He leads us into salvation there. He leads us in salvation of being saved. And one day, glorified bodies, when we go to heaven, He leads us into eternal life. Leading never stops. It's a constant process as a Christian that you'll need to be led by the Spirit. Constantly. It doesn't stop. Listen to this. Ray Pritchard said this. He says, to be led by the Spirit is a very personal term. It means to be led by the hand, to be personally escorted by a tour guide. The Holy Spirit takes your hand and leads you through the difficulties of life. So many Christians have said, if it had not been for the Lord, I wouldn't have made it. Who said that before? If it weren't for the Lord, I wouldn't have made it. Hey? But we don't know the half of it. And you are perplexed. You have the right to say, Holy Spirit, please show me what to do. Holy Spirit, I'm confused. I don't know which way to go. I'm counting on you to lead me. And He will do it. Thank God for the leading of the Holy Spirit. Some four basic things. I'm going to end with this. Four basic things. Of how you can recognize that the Spirit is leading you. Four basic things. And Jesus said, you will know a tree by its fruit. Here's four basic things that you can recognize being led in your own life. This is basically a check for yourself. Am I being led by the Spirit in these four areas? Look at this. The first one is, the Spirit will always lead you to glorify Jesus. Always. You see, the Father in the Old Testament pointed to Jesus. Jesus on the earth pointed to Himself. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The Holy Spirit points to Jesus. So if you're led by the Spirit, you will always be pointed in the direction of Jesus. If you're led and you're a preacher and you're led, you will always point people to Jesus. Not to yourself, not to your ministry. always. Because he says, if you point them to me, I will draw all men unto myself, Jesus said. Not self. Not an idea. You're not pointing to an idea. You're not glorifying your idea. Not a project. We heard about that over the week. Sean Broter said, he says, don't look at people as projects. Don't regard them after the flesh. Regard them after the spirit. Don't glorify a ministry. Don't glorify a theology or an ideology. Don't glorify an image. John 16 verse 14 says this. John 16:14. He will glorify me. Jesus speaking of the spirit. For he will take what is mine and declare it to you. So if you're led by the Spirit, you will always glorify Jesus. Okay? The second thing is, he will always lead you to truth. I mean, honestly, the amount of nonsense that is available on the internet today, the amount of nonsense that people are bombarded with, I often get people ask me, can I read this? Can I watch this? Can I listen to this? Can I do this? Holy Spirit will lead you into truth. Okay. Always into truth. God's word alone is truth. If you see something that they're preaching outside of the scriptures, outside of the word of God, it's not truth. And also remember, half a truth is a lie. If it smells like a little truth, half a truth, it's not a truth. It's a lie. Okay, that is why he is called the Spirit of Truth. That is the Spirit who is characterized in every way by truth. John 14:17, if we can read that quickly. There's two more to come. Even the Spirit of Truth, there it is, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Beautiful. Third one. Holy Spirit will always lead you in the way of understanding and applying scripture. Sometimes this is a difficult one for us. I read the Bible, Stefan. I don't understand what it says. You need to ask the Holy Spirit to lead you, to apply and break open the scriptures. I preach in a certain way that you can Not come and sit and go, wow, look at his revelations. No. I want to make you hungry that you will go search the scriptures for yourself. In the New Testament, there were the bunch of guys, the Bereans. They listened to all these apostles preaching. And they went home and they searched the scriptures. And the Bible says it was a noble thing that they checked out the scriptures for themselves. So if you come and you make notes, that you go home, ask me for my notes, I'll give them to you gladly. Go and study this. Get your own revelation from the Holy Spirit. Let him speak to you. Because he wants to lead you into all truth. He wants to break open the scriptures for you. Never contrary to the eternal word. He will always guide you onto all truth. In John 16:13 says this. John 16:13. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority. But whatever he hears, he will speak and he will declare to you the things that are to come. And 1 Corinthians 2, I'm not going to read all of that. 1 Corinthians 2:6-10. Go read it at home. 1 Corinthians 2:6-10. The Spirit's leading strengthens our obedience. When we led by the Spirit, it strengthens, it makes it easier. When you see the scriptures, it makes it easier for you to be obedient, to be faithful, and conformity to the image of Jesus Christ in all things. He leads you to love and depend upon the word. The fourth thing, and we're done. He always leads you to more and more dependence upon the Father. Always. That you just fall more in love with the Father. That you go sit on the Father's lap. You see, Romans 8:15. Again, Paul continuing with the thought that we just read. That says, for all those that are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. He continues, for, again, another for. Why? Because of the preceding verse. Can you see it? How he just puts all of these things systematically out there. This is the most systematic book that Paul has written, letter that he has written. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. Dependency upon the Father. More and more. That's what the Spirit will do. So he will glorify Jesus. He will lead you into truth. He will lead you in a way of understanding and applying the scriptures. And he will make you fall more in love with the Father. So yeah, we sit with a thing. Here's some definite marks of a true believer. You and I, we have a new obligation to walk in the Spirit that spurs us to look more like Jesus. We need the Spirit's help and motivation in putting to death the deeds of the flesh. We need the Holy Spirit every day to crucify the flesh, to die to ourselves, to take up our crosses, to put ourselves on the altar of sacrifice. When it says in Romans chapter 12 verse 1 that we need to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice. And he says that's your reasonable worship unto God. Every day. Dying to self, dying to live. But ultimately that we are being led by the Spirit. My friends, I want to ask you in closing, do these things ring true in your life? Do any of these things ring true in your life? Are you pointing to Jesus all the time? Are you glorifying Jesus? Are you loving the Father more and more? The scriptures, are they being broken open by the Spirit? Because you allow your hand to be in the hand of the Spirit that He can lead you. Even if you can't see me. Spirit, lead me where I can't see. Spirit, lead me through the stormy waters. Spirit, you need to lead me, sang it. Lead me in your love to those around me. I just needed to jot that down because we sing it, my friends. Lead me, Lord. Lead me, Spirit, to those around me. Who's those around me? People sitting next to you. The neighbor. Love the Lord your God, but love your neighbor as you love yourself. Spirit, lead me to love those that are unlovable. So these are the things I wanted to bring to you this morning. Are you following him? Are you being led by the Spirit? Because it's a sign of sonship. If you say, I'm a son and I'm a daughter, then you should be led by the Spirit. Let's close our eyes.